was telling Fridell the other night that it's funny. I didn't really have this sharp in my mind, but sometimes when people will ask you, as everyone always does at these big parties, it was for the Woody Allen film, Vicky Cristina Barcelona. And, you know, people say, so what's the film that has really, you know, the one that you would absolutely recommend, that you have to see? And I started saying, it just came out. I just said, well, frankly, you know, beyond WALL-E, which was the early summer revelation, it's Man on Wire. You know, that's the one that I have, that has really gotten hold of something really special, which is to say a sense of, and I was telling Army Archer that it's a suspense film in the sense that Day of the Locust was a suspense film. Now, how do you make a suspense film about a guy trying to shoot Charles de Gaulle, knowing full well that he didn't succeed? And yet, right, Fred Zinnemann made that film work as a good, you know, you really were watching the clock. There really was a sense of engagement from the suspense of it. And this is exactly what Man on Wire does, even though you know that maybe you don't know that he succeeded, but it's a really well put together suspense film. Like, is he going to succeed in this mad, beautiful, poetic quest? So.
Yeah, I think that's a real testament to filmmaking, is that you know what happened, and you're still like, you know, you're wondering how it's going to come out, you know?
Yeah. And it has also these kind of, you know, there's a poetry about it, and I...
Oh, yeah. It's almost like an adventure, you know, I mean, a poetic adventure story, you know, right. Kind of, you know, it's really...
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing I really think of that's great about the filmmaking is there were so many different resonances to that story, like the emotion between the friends, you know, what happens to the friendship, you know, just outside of the amazing spectacle, but like, you know, you have this heist film, you have this like kind of really subtle but beautiful, you know, musing on fame and what happens to people, you know, when they get it, like then what happens to friendships and also sort of, you know, almost like philosophizing on the ephemeral nature of all this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, all in the, you know, this kind of absolutely exciting, you know, spellbinding kind of, you know, adventure story.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, and I just think there's so many resonances, so many themes. And I really do think it's a tribute to James Marsh and that he got them all out, you know? I mean, like, you know, there's so, it's so rich and it's also satisfyingly explored, you know?
Now, the numbers when it opened last week in New York were pretty good. Is there any way to
absolutely fantastic, yeah,
to put it in context, compare it to other films? Can you kind of explain in layman's terms why you think it was exceptional as opposed to just pretty good?
Well, right now, I mean, there's no secret that theatrical docs just have not been performing. You know,
yeah.
It's just the grosses have been really, really. It's been this is the best opening since Sicko by far.
Uh-huh. Right.
Oh, and it's bigger than things like Super Size Me, which came out in the heyday of the, you know.
Yeah.
You know, in the heyday of the doc, you know, theatrical performance.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, you know, as much as I knew this film really was, you know, just going over so wildly with audiences, I was still a little bit, you know. I was still holding back a bit because I just know how these docs have opened lately. Although we did get a good opening with Gonzo this summer too, so that was you know,
uh-huh,
which is, you know, going to just about to cross $1 billion and still going.
Yeah.
But I was still, you know, because number one, this film has no particular core audience. You know, there's no, you know, sort of special interest groups that you can target with this that you can expect to show up. This is kind of a general appeal, general, you know, film.
Right.
Like, unless, I don't know how many, you know, absolute, you know, crazed fans of wire walking there are, you know, that are going to, you know, be enough to think of a theater gross, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so that was always kind of in the back of my mind as a fear, you know, and then to open like that was really, really very, very satisfying. And it's held up incredibly well, and things look very good for this weekend. He's on Conan O'Brien tonight, Philippe is. And,
oh, great, okay.
He had a big CNN piece this morning.
Yeah.
I kind of suspect this might happen, even though we got really good publicity to open up with. I also thought that as more people got into it, even like editors and papers and news stations, et cetera, that it would kind of snowball, and it seems to be happening, like, you know, very, you know, palpably, that more and more people are getting into the film and just, you know,
yeah.
The raves are really just resounding throughout, you know, the populace, and and people in the entertainment world as well.
You know, it's interesting because I think it makes the average person watching the film feel very wise and very hip, because there's two ways to respond to what Philippe Petit did back in 74, which is it was beautiful, it was perfect, it was astounding. Or you can say, as many people did, certainly in the news media back then, why did he did it?
Right.
Did he do this? And it, of course, it's absurd to say why. I mean, either you get it or you don't. But I think that's what's very nice about the film, is because it makes the viewer feel, well, what do you mean why? There's no why to something as astounding as this. So.
Well, I think one of the other things that people are responding to is, like, look, in this age where if someone did something like this, they'd have a book deal set up, they'd have the movie, right? I mean, like, you know, things right now are just so calculated for, you know, for cashing in and for everything being just reduced to this monetary aspect and just, or, you know, fame, you know, I mean, not that he didn't do it because he'd be famous, obviously, that's, you know,
yeah,
that's in there, but the fact that, like, you know, so much effort was put into something just for this, you know, like, ephemeral, beautiful moment,
mm-hmm.
you know, where, you know, hey, wouldn't that be insanely great if I could do this?
Yeah.
And someone had gotten together and did it, you know, and that was the reason they did it, you know, just for that, you know, just to do something insanely great and momentous.
Tell me a little bit, if you can, were you over in Scotland for the, when it showed at, was it Edinburgh, or where did it show?
It was at the Edinburgh Film Festival, where
right.
it won, again, it won the, you know, the jury prize, and
was Sean Connery one of the jurors on that festival?
I don't think he was a juror for the film, but he was in the audience.
Okay.
During the Q&A, I've heard this from three different sources, including the director of the festival and our acquisitions person who was over there. He got during the Q&A and apparently teary-eyed said, "This is one of the three greatest cinematic experiences I've had in my life."
What were the other two?
And he said, "And I'm not gonna." And he pointedly said, "And I'm not gonna tell you what the other two."
Okay.
And, but yeah, he was apparently just incredibly taken with it. I mean, I'm telling you, the screenings routinely, after all the screenings we're having in the theaters, you know, applause breaks out at the end of the film. I mean, everybody starts clapping. It's, you know, it's just one of these rare, you know, kind of, you know, swept up audience responses we're getting.
Have you, I know this is, maybe this is kind of an old-fashioned thing. Remember the every now and then you'll see the ads where it's not critic quotes, but it's regular folks just coming out and they, does anybody do those anymore? It sounds like this kind of film.
They're more TV-based stuff, and, like, you know, obviously we build, you know, right now we don't have a budget for TV stuff, but
yeah.
I wouldn't mind, because, like, I've heard people, you know, like, the theater manager was saying, like, the theater manager on the Sunshine, he was just telling us, he goes, like, oh my God, I mean, like, people are coming out, some of them are, like, you know, like, all teary-eyed and everything,
yeah.
and, you know, and they're just, but everybody's just coming out, like, as if they've been through an incredibly, you know,
right.
an incredible experience.
Yeah.
He said he hasn't really seen reactions like this
yeah.
in a really long time, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting, too, just the title alone is intriguing. The correct English expression of what it was about a man on a wire, or man on a wire. The taking out of the A makes it sound special on some level. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was something primal. I mean, there's, I think, off the record, I always think there's something nice about, something very clean and even about three, you know? There's, like, you know, the three words, you know, it seems to be sort of unifying.
Anyway, it was an inspired choice, whoever decided to call it that, rather than man on a wire. It's just very, very smart. Somebody.
Yeah, well, it came out of the police report. You know, that was the police report, man on wire.
Oh, I see.
That's,
okay, I got it.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
But it was, yeah, I think it was a real inspiring.
Yeah.
You know, and it just works so well with all the images and everything, just like reducing everything down to this sort of simple, simple awe-inspiring level. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, but I think it was... just about a year and a half later, another guy did something really interesting.
The Spider-Man, who, like, you know, went up the side, you know?
Right. His name is George Willig. He was a toy maker at the time in Queens. And I was so inspired by him, because he got a lot of press. Remember, they tried to get him to come off, and he wouldn't do it and everything. And I produced a concert, a Save the Whales benefit rock concert in Connecticut, and I persuaded George Willig to come up in 76. And take a bow and talk about his experiences in front of this big crowd. And
Now, who'd you have at the show?
At the time, it was just some bands, and it was like the Shirts and some punk.
Oh, I remember the Shirts. Sure, yeah. I saw the Andy Golden. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, a bunch of times, yeah.
And that was kind of a fun thing back then. But I just remember George Willie seemed to get more attention. I just didn't remember this as vividly as I did George Willie. But because I guess there weren't as many visuals or many shots.
That's the thing. There were no visuals. I mean, like, you know, you see, you know, what's really interesting too is that there's no actual footage of it, and everybody comes out. I've read reviews about people talking about how amazing it was to see him dance on the wire and stuff. And it's like, well, you didn't see that. You know, you saw photographs of it. You know,
right.
It is so. And like, even after I saw that, I was like, did I actually see footage of it? I mean, it feels like you did. You know.
Well, I'll be
the footage of Notre Dame and the footage of Australia, the Australian Walk, the Sydney Bridge, but not of the World Trade Center.
Yeah. All right. Well, and also I think that everybody says that it's what's so perfect about the film, perfectly made, is there's not so much as the briefest allusion to the fate of the Twin Towers. It doesn't even touch it. Doesn't go there for 1 second. And,
you know
perfect,
what? It's,
you know?
It's hanging over the film. And James was so smart about that. He knew that there were so many resonances that were just there.
Yeah.
You know, and that didn't have to be, you know, that no one had to mention. You know, and at the same time, I don't feel like, ooh, I'm avoiding it, you know?
Yeah.
I think, you know, it doesn't have that, like, sort of stunt, you know, feeling. It really feels organic, and it feels right. It's just like everybody, you know, you just know everybody's bringing that baggage to the film, and, you know, let them process it in their own way instead of, like, you know, having your, you know, definitive take, which is kind of absurd and would reduce, I mean, I think it would just reduce the, you know, be kind of trite, actually, if you, you know, sort of.
Of course.
Yeah. Brought your own, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, I will look at the. I'll try and catch the Conan thing this evening, and let's hope that the reaction this coming weekend is as strong and passionate as it was last week in New York.
Yeah, our advanced screenings out in the field have been, like, you know, just these we're just getting nothing but, like, raves back from those audience screenings. So hopefully.
How many screens exactly is it going to be on this weekend?
I think we're on 53. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that was last I heard, so around there, a little over 50 screens.
Are you in all the major cities now?
Most of the major cities. A couple of cities will be going the following week.
But
you know, one plan is, you know, hopefully it'll go well and just keep building up screens till we get to Labor Day, right. Which I think would be probably a really nice weekend for this film.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny, when a film delivers
11th anniversary, you know, which I think a lot of people are going to kind of write about, you know, hopefully.
Okay.
We'll see on the second wave.
Once people get it, the word gets around that a movie delivers a genuine spiritual high, and there's no question that this the one does that. Somehow that gets around, always does.
I think that's actually a really very apt way of saying it. I'm glad that you articulate it like that, because that's really kind of what it is. It's like a genuine spiritual high that the film gives you. You know, that's actually the best kind of wording I've heard about that. You know.
Yeah. All right, well, here's hoping. And thanks for talking, Emmett. I appreciate your time.
All right, Jeffrey.
Be well.
Good luck with Bill today, too.
Thank you.
All right, take it.
Take care.